are going to take a matter out of order.
We'll see if it works.
There you go. We're going to actually hear item K, Trial Court Efficiencies, Task Force on Trial Court Fiscal Accountability, Efficient and Effective Program Recommendations. This presenter is Judge Walsh, and he has another commitment this afternoon. So I appreciate the other presenters allowing this gracious intervention. We get Judge Walsh out of here.
Do I get special points for coming on time?
Yes. We welcome, of course, presiding Judge Marcia Slough and Kim Turner, CEO of Marin, and we're waiting for the third.
He went out of the order and he's not here.
Okay, item K.
Chief, thank you very much for this opportunity to present to this august group. And also thank you for taking us a little bit out of order. I apologize. I have to leave immediately afterwards because I'm on a panel in Berkeley with one of your colleagues. But we're here today to present the work of the task force that you appointed, the Task Force on Trial Court Fiscal Accountability. As some of you will recall, the funding work group that spawned the WAFM effort also said to not only look at equal allocation of monies around the state, but let's look at state trial court.
Can I just stop you 1 second? I apologize and I'm sorry, but this is an action item, and is there anyone here that wants to make public comment on this action item? It's item K. Sorry, go ahead.
Thank you.
That's how efficient we are.
Yeah, that's right. Jumped right in. He's halfway to Berkeley.
That's right.
Well, and look who's joined us, Lee Edman. How are you, Woman Council?
So good to be here.
Okay. So in response to that request, what about statewide trial court efficiencies? What about individual trial court efficiencies going statewide? The Chief Justice appointed a task force of, I have to say, talented and dedicated people. With me today are just three of them: Kim Turner, CEO of Marin County; Lee Edman, immediate past PJ of Los Angeles; and Marcia Slough, the vice chair of our task force and PJ of San Bernardino. We're kind of yes people, we've decided, because we always say yes to everything we're asked to do, and these are the busiest people I've ever been with, but they've been great here. Basically, they're volunteers volunteering their time to answer the question, what are the trial courts doing about efficiency? So we had our first meeting in September, and we're bringing to you today the results of 7.5 months of work. We think you're going to like it. It wasn't easy. We worked very hard on it. And we decided, when we had the 8 recommendations sent to us by this group to deal with, we prioritized them. We couldn't do them all at once. And so we said, Marcia, how do we handle that?
Well, we all know that when we're all out and about, that we hear over and over that trial courts should be more efficient. Seems to be a recurring theme and, quite honestly, an appropriate theme. Are we being efficient with our precious resources? So as a group, a very diverse group of members of this task force from very diverse counties, we had a great dialogue about that topic. And we discovered that we really are already doing a lot that is very efficient with our resources. However, what we're not doing is sharing that information very well amongst ourselves and sharing it with our sister branches. So we decided our number one priority should be to step up our efforts to be able to demonstrate what we are doing well so that other county court systems can leverage those efficiencies and take them to their own home courts.
So how did we do it? We basically took the members of our committee and broke down into 6 subgroups made up of either a PJ or former PJ working with a court executive officer. And we assigned each one of the subgroups a topic. So, for example, I was paired with Steve Nash, and our topic was civil operations, and somebody else had criminal, and somebody else had technology, and that's the way we worked. We started to try to figure out what's out there in the trial courts. We used some of the resources that had already been gathered by the AOC. They had a lot of information, say, for example, of former club swimmers, other projects that they knew about. And so we went through, sorted through lots of existing AOC records. Then in addition, we went out and actually contacted the trial courts. Tell us, soliciting information, tell us what you are doing now that's efficient and makes sense that you want to share with the other courts. When we gathered all of that information together, that's when we really started our due diligence and tried to figure out what's really working well. We sent out to each court a basic question form that would be standardized for every court. Tell us what, describe the project, what are the program benefits, who are the contact people. And then we sat down and went through those to try to figure out what made sense to narrow the list to something that was really manageable that we could do in this 7-month period that we had. So we came up with about 75 programs that everybody will have access to. We don't hesitate to tell you that those aren't all the efficient and effective programs out there. And we can't even say that those are the best 75, but there's certainly ones that we came to decide were ones that are very, very good and make sense to have as at least as a starting point. If when you look at these projects, there's something in your own county that you think is a terrific program, we're going to set up a process by which you can make sure that your project gets in there so that this will be sort of a living, breathing document where we add on efficiencies as we go.
And Kim, we didn't just find programs. What do we do with them?
So not only did we find 75 promising programs, but we also vetted those programs. And what I mean by that is that the task force itself spent one entire meeting kind of walking through all of the documents that we got from various programs that had submitted these interview templates to us. And we evaluated them to in fact, answer the key questions. Were they efficient? Were they effective? In some cases, were they innovative? And then since our group as a whole, we had a task force of 12 or 13 people, could not walk through all 75 programs, we actually subbed out that work to three of the CEOs that were on the committee. So that would be Stephen Nash, Alan Carlson, and Mike Roddy. They further vetted those programs, and then they forwarded them all to me, and I turned them into program summaries that are now, you're going to see very shortly, loaded onto our website. So the creation of the summaries really was an important starting point, because what we wanted to do then was, once we determined that, you know, that Marin had a traffic program and Riverside had a search warrant program and so forth, so we wanted to survey the courts to find out which courts had the same or similar programs, because that information is also contained in our effort. So we sent out a survey and got wonderful responses from most of the courts, letting us know whether or not they had programs that were like the ones that will be on this website. So even though you'll see a sponsor court attached to these programs, when you scroll down through the program summary, you'll find that in many cases, 20, 30, 40, sometimes as many as 40 other courts are doing a similar kind of a program, showing that we are really pollinating these ideas across the branch. Following all the work that we did, Judge Walsh and I did take the sort of initial findings and the initial work to both TCPJAC and to SEAC, and we unveiled, at least the embryonic project that we've been working on to make sure that we had good buy-in from the PJs, good buy-in from the CEOs, and we took any comments that they had to heart and tried to build those things into our process.
Right, and they were, I can tell you, very supportive of our effort. So we have done a lot, and we couldn't have do it without the help of the AOC staff. I want to take a moment to compliment Jody Patel for all the help and guidance that she gave us. She was there at every meeting all the time. Talk about somebody who says yes to too many things. She was always busy but always helpful. But I want to especially point out Maureen Dumas, the kind of person you don't see ever at this seat. Is Maureen here?
She's fine.
Yes.
Right here.
Maureen,
Put your hand up, Maureen.
She's the one blushing right now. Unbelievable work. Unbelievable work all the way through. Never, I can't do it. No, that's too much. Always, always helpful. And I also want to single out Mark Gillette from the technology office. Is Mark here? Mark, great job. As he told me, he says, when I first heard that some crazy judge wanted me to build an app store, I thought, what? And he got into it. He's never complained. He's been there the whole time. And I want to tell you, anybody who had our experience working with these people from AOC gets a chance to see the kind of talent and dedication these public servants provide every day. Willingly, they work hard, they work ably. We are blessed to have such professionals work with us. So, we're going to show you the Knowledge Center that we've created in just a moment, but we're going to walk you through what we're asking you to do. There are five recommendations contained in our report. First, we'll ask you to approve the full implementation of the Knowledge Center on Serranus. It's going to be inside the private website of Serranus, so you'll have to know your password, and create a similar site on a public site on the other side, a little less full. We're going to modify some of these because on the public site they should show slightly differently. That's one. Two, we're going to ask you to approve the creation of a TCPJAC-SEAC working group to continue to develop the content on the Knowledge Center site, and we would propose calling it the Joint Trial Court Efficiencies and Innovations Work Group. And three, we would then merge in two existing groups. So, in fact, this was talked about, Justice Miller may remember, when we presented our agenda for the year, and he had the suggestion of, well, maybe the task force and these other two groups might start working together, and we have. So our suggestion would be, and Kim, who's one of the co-chairs of the Business Process Reengineering, agrees to merge Business Process Reengineering and the Trial Court Efficiencies Work Group. David Yamasaki agrees with that. He's the co-chair of that group. They're the ones who seek legislative efficiencies. Merge them into the single group and have that be the umbrella group of this ongoing effort. After we were created as a task force, and according to the governor's budget came out and said he wanted to see more trial court efficiencies, about 2 weeks later we found out that the chief was creating her Blue Ribbon Commission and has worked for them, covering, we think, many of the recommendations that we haven't yet gotten to. And therefore, you'll see in a moment, we're going to phase out. But to have this effort have credibility, to have continuity, to have true value, it still needs a home and some staff, which I'll get to in a minute, and this is the home that we recommend you approve. And that jumps us to number four. People I've talked to who are in the sort of corporate efficiencies business say, yeah, we've tried this. We tried it at HP once, but it failed because there was no custodian of the site. Nobody kept it alive. So what we need, we decided, is a custodian or a librarian of this site to bring in new programs, to post them, to encourage their use, and so we need somebody good in marketing and good in organizing, and we have found them. And again, thank you, Jody, and thank you, Judge Jark. Every time I told him, you know, we need more resources here, you should have seen the pained look on his face. What you go through. But anyway, he finally said yes, and we found it within the trial court leadership group, Claudia, Marlene, and Deirdre, who work with SEAC and TCPJAC anyway. So we're asking that you direct the trial court liaison office of the trial court leadership unit to provide staff support to the new working group. And then five, with the creation of the chief's new Blue Ribbon Commission, sunset the task force and return the remaining charge to the remaining charges, those other recommendations, to the Judicial Council for reassignment. And it's so cool to be on a task force where you're recommending you be sunsetted.
And
yes, sir.
Be through ENP. Can you make
yes,
that?
Okay, this would be through ENP.
Yes.
Yes, of course. I'm sure that's what I meant. But we would amend that. So to return the remaining charge to ENP, all right? We all agree? Yes.
We agree.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Now, if approved, then we're going to jump right on it. What we're showing you today is a demo site, but it's almost fully locked and loaded. But it'll be final and ready to go out for showing by next week. And the reason we have that deadline is we have already set our panel to appear in front of the CJA mid-year meeting next Saturday. It'll be the first public rollout of the site. So it better be ready. And then we plan to take it up to the legislature. We're going to make some appointments and show them what we have. Go to the governor's office and show them. I know they're interested. We will then be taking it to the TCPJAC meeting June 5th, the SEAC meeting June 4th, and roll it out. It is now live. Use it. Here it is. And plan to continue that effort because it's not just creating it, but encouraging its continued use, incenting its use, which we think is part of our charge, and we will do that. So And of course, like every program, we didn't have a parking lot because that term is already stolen, but we have a phase two. So there's a lot of things we didn't get to in our 7.5 months that we had to put on. Building out the public website more robustly, allowing people to copy and paste and send the programs off elsewhere. It's all doable. We will do it. We just didn't have the time to do it yet. So, you know, through this, though, I must say, we encountered the questions. Well, gosh, you know, if we do this, some courts might be offended if we don't show theirs. I think, you know, they're going to have to get, we could only do 75. Well, some of these are only appropriate for big courts or little courts. Or, gee, what if it's not, what if somebody thinks it's not legal? Well, we vetted it with each individual court. And so, exasperated at one point, I burst at one meeting what became then our mantra, which is, innovation is not for wimps. And that was what guided us. That's what guided us through this. We have to be bold. We have to do something to change the perception. Because what I want to say we found out is there are efficiencies in our branch. Our branch is full of efficiencies. But we hide our light under a bushel basket. We don't tout them. So this is part of what we're doing. We're not just sharing them. We're telling the world we've been there. We've done that. And we're going to continue to do it. So, with that, we're going to show you the Knowledge Center. Now, my goal here was it would be so simple, even a PJ could operate. So, I'm going to launch it here by, where's my clicker?
Now it's when we tap dance.
Right, exactly.
This is the Knowledge Center.
Okay.
It's on Saranus. Oops, we cycled forward too much. So let's go follow the breadcrumbs back.
Sorry.
Okay, this is the face page of the Knowledge Center, listing the first one, which we'll show you in a minute, effective and efficient trial court programs. The next one, state court efficiencies. These are statewide efficiencies. And the final one, the business process reengineering. So let's see. Kim, why don't you take us through the bottom one, business process reengineering.
Thank you, Judge Walsh. So, as many of you know, I've been chairing with Judge Slough the trial court business process reengineering working group for a couple of years. And so what we have been promising to all of the courts that we've trained, and we've now trained 28 courts in these principles and how to use the analytical tools, we've been promising them that we would put together a resource environment, a resource page, where they can go and actually pull down curriculum that we've used in the training classes. They can view the videos. We put together a Getting Lean and Green video about a year and a half ago to give people kind of a primer in the principles of business process reengineering. And then we've also created all kinds of modifiable tools and templates that courts can use to go through the process of retooling a particular work area. And so all of those resources are now out on this site, and this site is live, effective yesterday afternoon. So if you go to Saranus, you'll be able to find the Trial Court Business Process Reengineering resource page. And in addition to that, we tried to also include some of the educational materials, because this is not a new thing. It's been around in the private sector for a long time, and we've managed to take those tools and kind of morph them into a public sector kind of a model. But there are many, many white papers and other educational materials that we think courts will find very useful as they embark on their own reengineering efforts. So I wanted to just alert you to this as being one of the components on the in the Knowledge Center, and one that we will continue to develop as more and more materials become available.
All right, thank you. Now, Judge Slough, it was complained we didn't have statewide efficiencies. Corey Jasperson and many others got together a list and said, we sure do. What do we do with that?
Well, we have a lot of statewide efficiencies, not just the things we do at home, but as a branch, as a whole, things that we've done. Just a couple of examples that will be on the website is the model jury summons. So you click and you get to the model jury summons. We summons over, you know, millions of people into court every single year. So the standardized summons was prepared and developed, and many courts use it to not only simplify the process of summonsing those millions of people, but also to educate the people that will be coming to our courts on the importance of that duty. So if someone on the outside wants to look at what we're doing with this program, they'll have the ability to look and learn about this program. Another is our draft program. That is the dependency representation I can't read my own handwriting.
And training.
The draft program. It's a very important program that some 20 courts in the out of the 58 counties use to help with their dependency case hiring of counsel. It has allowed those courts to partner with the administrative office of the court to help in preparing the contracts that we enter into with those counsel. And I think if you go on the website and look at it, you'll see the benefits from the statewide program, which has included setting standards for those counsel, caseload standards for those counsel, outcomes for those children who find themselves in the dependency court. And it's a really interesting program and really worth sharing with everyone.
And searching for the answer, do we have statewide programs? Yes, we've had them for years. There are 60 programs listed on that under that icon. All the ones that are currently in place, which are most of those, have a hot link. And so you can do what Marcia just did, hit the hot link. You got the whole program right there, all within this one knowledge center. So then let's go back to the follow the breadcrumbs back to the third icon just a minute. We're going to have a handout with this. I always forget my Saranis password, so we thought as a way of folks remembering this.
Brian, I think they handed them out.
You handed them out. Yeah. Yeah, okay. You got the card, and a little. We call this a leave behind here. You can write your Saranis password on the back. Don't lose it now because it's going to bring you lots of good stuff, and that's our app store.
I forgot my
phone.
If we were
icons.
Real efficient, we would have filled in your passwords.
Yeah. So we've created an app store.
I have to call.
You'll see the first page is all these case type icons. There's family law, criminal, ADR, et cetera. So if you want to know about something in family law, you click family law, and there's a let's try robocall, something Santa Clara County just put in this year. In robocall, we have one of those automatic dialers. We get the phone number from the self-represented litigants who often fail to show up. It dials them a week ahead of time. We've had a great increase in the number of no-shows as a result.
Decrease in the number.
Thank you. On my court, I'm the increased no-show. I'm never there, but good point. We've had a great decrease in the number of no-shows. Now let's go on. So this is about efficiency. We expect us to save us money. But we also were charged with looking at effective programs. Effective, efficient, or effective to bring equal access to justice. So, Lee Edmond, can you tell us about one of the ones in LA?
So, just looking at one of the examples of the effective programs, if you click on the outreach button, you go back to the app store, you click on an outreach project. One of the outreach projects in there is a teen court that we do in Los Angeles. Many of you I know are familiar with teen court and how it operates. In Los Angeles, we have a sort of a specialized teen court called SHADES, and that's an acronym for Stopping Hate and Delinquency by Empowering Students. And basically, it is specialized, focuses on issues of bullying and hate crimes. Now, what Kim is going to do for us here, when you get to the first page, it has just like robocall, it has a description of the program, it has a program description, it has the program benefits. It also then has materials, one of which is a video, and we're going to look at the video in a second. I'm going to describe the program very briefly while we fast forward through this little advertisement that comes when you get some of these videos from, say, CBS News. You've got to sit through, and then unless you want to buy a pair of shoes or something, it's kind of irritating. So we're going to talk about the program briefly until we get there. And let me say at that point, in many of these programs actually have videos embedded in the program, and so you can go in and actually watch the videos. We are going to do everything we can to try to get as many videos as possible that are actually unique to us, either that have been created by the AOC, created by the local court, because that way we can put it on YouTube and ensure that it lasts. With some of these news stories, they may take the story down. We want to make sure that we keep it, and then obviously we avoid the advertisements as well. Mm-hmm. But basically what SHADES is a situation where you've got a someone who is accused of a crime that is based in bullying or harassment, and we actually focused this program because of the increased number of these sorts of problems in schools, and increased incidents, and they are all much more, I think, serious than they've been in times past because of technology and the fact that you can put things on the video, and they, when they go viral, it's a real problem. I sat through a trial with a kid where some of the students in the school had taken his photo off Facebook. He was a Muslim, had his hair up, and they placed his photo right next to a, cropped it next to a photo of an airplane going into the Twin Towers. And then sends it to everybody on Facebook. You can imagine what that does to kids. And so this has really been a moving program. Basically, the slight difference from a regular teen court is that it's judged by a jury of their peers, but these are kids who have actually gone through an intensive week-long program in tolerance training through the Museum of Tolerance. And then when the person is convicted, if they are, then it's a six-month probation period where they actually have a mentor who's a judge on the Los Angeles Superior Court, and that kid has to go through the week-long training with the Museum of Tolerance to be sensitized on issues of bullying. So we'll just very, very briefly play this clip.
Okay. So, operator error. Hang on. I don't know why we're not getting video.
Audio.
Sound.
Yeah. All right.
Teen jurors is selected at random.
Lillian Horan, Venice High School.
Teens from various high schools across the county will decide the fate of two bullies charged with battery. Case number one.
Your friends always bother me and call me gay. Sorry.
Slow down.
Okay.
It's
okay.
Take your time.
They was keep bothering me and everything. Then when, like, I get tired of when I go to school every day.
On the stand, Tyree, a teenager who lives in fear after a bully gave him two black eyes and has been verbally taunting him for months.
I'm sorry for crying because I'm upset about my son being bullied.
So you get the idea that there are videos attached to many of these programs that give you a better idea. And then, of course, you've got contact information where you could contact the local court person, find out who knows about the program, and hopefully find out the information you need in order to consider adopting it for yourself.
Okay. And then, Kim, you do a Marin traffic program. So we go into the traffic icon, right?
Yes.
So there are 75 programs now, more later as we work further on.
So in the area of efficient and effective programs, so in Marin, we try to solve two problems. We had a lot of public frustration with people waiting in very long lines to go to traffic court to do very ministerial things like convert community service to a fine or get an extension on traffic school. So, and we also, the other problem that we were trying to address was the fact that our clerks were very beleaguered by a lot of upset people waiting in line for hours and hours, finally getting to the window and being told that they had to go to court and then come back out and get in another line. So we spent quite a bit of time sort of re-engineering the way that we do our traffic matters, and in fact have now conferred many of the things that used to happen in the courtroom to the clerks at the front counter so that we don't have to send cases into court unless a judicial ruling on something is required. So anyway,
using this as a typical site. Why don't you just walk us through some. So here's all, we list all the courts that have a similar site. You see all those other courts. Don't forget, we're efficient out there.
Yes.
All these courts have this or something similar, and you would see that on each program site. We show at the top the list of all materials. So the ideal is you click, and you can have it in your courtroom within hours, not days or months. We have a contact with it for the listserv, if this is related, which this one is. It has a listserv for traffic. You can go on there. It has a comment or proposal aspect, so someone can comment, what do you think of it? Here's how we're doing a little bit differently. Here's a better idea. We also have an invitation on there. Submit your own proposal, and that would then go to this joint work group, and then if we approve it and vet it, put it on the website. Now, I went to an innovation program at CJA last fall, and it was great, and I saw this wonderful thing about electronic search warrants. Great, I'm going to be night duty judge, and I could stay in my pajamas and do a search warrant. Great idea. But when I got home to tell David Yamasaki about it, I didn't know who to contact. I knew something about the program, and now we're 6 months later, we're about to do it. But now, Marcia, we're a click away from that program of yours I saw.
That you are. It's really a great program and has proven to be very efficient for our county. We've all been there. 2 o'clock at night, and you get the phone call from law enforcement, we almost have a warrant ready for you to sign. Yeah, thanks for waking me up to tell me that we're almost ready. Some of you, maybe even Judge Herman, remembers the days when they'd ride their horses in to your home. But I digress.
Actually dinosaurs.
I digress. In any event, at home in San Bernardino County, through some great work through our technology folks and judges that are much more up on technology than others, developed this on-call warning. On the website, you can go and you can see the user guide that all of us judges were taught on how to use it. You can you deal with the warrants on your iPad or any other ability to access the internet. So you can be on the golf course, your phone buzzes, you have a warrant in queue. You go to your iPad, you turn it on, you get the number, you call the officer, you swear the officer, you read the warrant, you hit accept or you hit reject, and it attaches your signature to it. It's really a great program and really efficient. Law enforcement loves it, and it also saves paper.
And if you approve this proposal, this can be in your courthouse next week. You too can stay in your pajamas.
I should say that's after hours golfing.
So, Chief, the one final thing we want to point out is we thought you appointed a great task force, and it's important, I think, to show kind of the provenance of this. Good people got behind us. So we created an icon just for today's presentation. It's a picture of Einstein there, and these are what we call our smart people icon. These are the list of the people on the task force. And then also, if you approve it today, we want to show another group of smart people. That's you. See, that's our presentation. Thank you.
This is some sales job, Judge.
I notice you're on both lists, Brian.
His pajamas.
Well, I think someone's beating us to the punch here, Judge McCabe.
Thank you, Chief. It was a privilege to work with this group. First, I second what Brian had said, or Judge Walsh had said, about AOC staff. Above and beyond extraordinary. And what we asked them to do and the time frame that they did it is truly remarkable. There's some other unsung heroes, though. Judges like to think we understand the court and all the complexities, but the CEOs do understand. And we had some really talented people, and that's no offense to the judges. I really respect the folks that are on there, but the collective wisdom in the CEOs that we had was phenomenal. I was in awe to listen to them talk. And it reaffirmed my belief in the judiciary. The government continually is viewed as archaic, and I heard nothing but 21st century innovative, creative thinking. It was awestruck. I was just awestruck sitting there listening to that, and to come up with what we did in the time frame that we did, knowing that we are going to be sunsetted, which may be a history. This committee did what it was tasked to do in a very short time and is now asking permission to be put to bed. I think speaks volumes. I therefore move to adopt the 5 recommendations.
Second, Judge Nadler. Second, Judge Jacobson. Any further discussion? We're speechless. This is amazing. It's an amazing presentation for all of us who like to be engaged, who are tactile. You know, you're going to see us reaching out, trying to touch our computer on it, apps on it. And I think the hardest part about this project, frankly, is for all of us trying to remember our Serenus password.
That's the car. Right?
That's the same thing.
I thought about that.
Yes, Justice Miller, then Judge O'Malley.
I don't have a question, but just a comment. We need to get this out.
Yeah, exactly.
Next week, an amazing presentation.
To the DOF, to the LAO, to the governor, to the legislature. Please.
We need to get it out. This is amazing.
It
It's just amazing.
I'm going to take it to Conference of Chief Justices and brag again about the
Excellent. Thank you.
So, all in favor of adopting recommendations 1-5, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. David.
I just wanted to make one point. Many of you had an opportunity to see the energy of Judge Walsh,
yes.
And I encourage you to keep appointing him to new committees to keep him away from me. Thank you.